Hello, life bookers from around the world. This is Jordan River Butcher with another Life Book Podcast, a very special episode series this time. We've got for you lined up a three-part homeschool startup series, one of the most highly requested topics that has come from the Life Book community. And I'm so excited to have on the line with me today, my whole family is here. We have John and Missy Butcher, of course, founders of
Life Book. Hey, everybody.
Howdy.
Great to be here.
And also we have Jessica and Patrick Colhagen, my brother and sister. How's it going, guys?
Hey, going great.
I'm
so
going to
be with you, Jess and Pat. And I'll tell you, Life Bookers, these two do homeschool better than anyone, any couple we've ever seen. So we're so excited to have this.
Thanks, Dad.
We are going to go deep in this three-part series, you guys. We're going to go more intensive on homeschooling than you've ever seen in or outside of the Life Book community. Again, a three-part series that you're absolutely going to love. We have a bunch of questions lined up from the community, and we are about to dive deep into homeschooling, which is becoming more and more important every single year. Before we jump into these questions, though, I think, as always, it's probably important to say that, again, this is coming from our point of view. As Lifebook is always saying, you know, there is no one right answer, no one singular answer. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Here's one of the most important things I want to say at the outset of this call is that we're going to be sharing from our experience. And we're going to really be honest about how we feel about school, but that's from our perspective, you guys. If you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a profession like that, you're going to have to go to school for years and years and study. Those are traditional paths that are going to require a traditional strategy. No question about that. What we're going to be presenting is how we did it, which was absolutely non-traditional. We're not saying anyone's wrong or that we're right. We're presenting our experience. And I know you Life Bookers get that. So just a big disclaimer on the front end of this thing so that we can be totally honest with you.
Absolutely. And I think that being said, this topic is highly requested for a reason. It's becoming more and more prevalent, more and more people taking over and taking charge of their kids' education. And that's why we got so many great questions lined up from the community. So I'm really excited to kind of pull no punches here and go deep with some of the most well-respected people that I know. Again, my parents and my brother and sister who have really done an incredible job with what you've done with crafting a homeschool curriculum. So I do want to say props to you guys right off on the offset here. And without further ado, we can just jump right into these questions if you guys want.
Let's do it.
The first one here, right at the top. This is a big one. I know this is going to be a long multi-part answer. I'm just going to throw it out to everybody here. What are some of the most important beliefs that you hold on the topic of education specifically?
I think that would be a great question for Jess and Pat to start with. Guys, what are your fundamental premises when it comes to educating your kids?
Yeah. So I would say first and foremost, our most foundational belief about education or what is the single most important element or aspect of education is, and I want to say what I believe all education should really be geared towards, is having a deep understanding of who you truly are deep down as a human being, what lights your soul up, what matters to you, what you feel like you're here on earth to accomplish. And by the way, that doesn't always mean a career necessarily. It's your soul purpose. It's the energy that you're here to transmit. Sometimes that translates to a job, and sometimes it's just raising a family or a farm or helping your community or making art just for the sake of it. But whatever is inside of you that is just dying to come out, basically knowing how to hear the call of your soul and teaching our kids how to do that. Because to us, it's like, if we're not doing that for our kids, if we're not helping our children discover that for themselves, we really just don't see the point of any other education. And piggybacking on that, we also believe that we as parents have to have a deep understanding of who our children are deep down in their essence, but also in their operating systems, so that we can custom tailor not only their education, but our relationship to them. And it's really kind of insane when you think about the fact that this isn't the norm, that we tend in our societies to have a blanket approach to not only what we teach our children, but also how we parent them and like what we generally tend to expect from them in society. So the really wonderful, beautiful thing about homeschool is that it offers the opportunity to go so deep with your kids into who they are. And it gives them the time and the support that they need to go deep with themselves in all the busyness of the world, they've got this respite of homeschool where they can really just like have time for themselves and with themselves. So yeah, it really just comes down to knowing who you are and being such. That's it. To us, that's the highest form of knowledge and the most important piece for educating our kids.
This is like our sole journey to raise amazing kids. And so that's for Jess and I, that's like number one. We want to raise the most incredible kids. And to do that, you have to know them and you have to be on your own soul path. And together, like as a family, we all walk our soul paths together. We learn together and we really align it in that way. So
it's really great, guys. I would add to that, because that's one of our fundamental premises too. One of the things that you need to deeply understand is your kids' learning style, because they've all got different learning styles. And Miss, I want you to talk a little bit about Jade and what we discovered about her when she was in second grade that kind of put us on this path.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, just, you guys are spot on. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Education is where are you going? You have to know where you're coming from to know where you're going. But anyway, that was our situation with Jade. You guys know, we, you know, second grade, she hit some hard, rough waters and we didn't know what was going on. So we went in deep and learned how she learned. So then that's when we decided to start traveling with the kids and doing 3D learning, because Jade needed 3D learning.
Because she was dyslexic and her brain was not wired the way other kids, she had a learning difference. And so we really leaned into that.
We had to do a sidestep and figure out what we're going to do.
We designed the entire educational curriculum around her learning style, and we just dove into it as a family. Mm-hmm. So that's something I would add. Another couple premises that we have. One of them is, what has worked with regard to education in the past for the human race, namely memorization and regurgitation. That's what school was when we went. You know, read this chapter and then we're going to give you a test to see how much you remembered, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to work in the future, nor is that necessary when you have all of the answers to any question you could ever care to ask in your pocket at the speed of light. There's no reason anymore to waste brain space with details like that when you can access it with your external hard drive. That frees up a tremendous amount of your operating system.
And another thing, it's like, we want our kids to fall in love with learning.
Yep.
And like Jess was just saying, there's this blanket thing that school puts on everybody. It's the same. There's no creativity. There's no learning how to, grow your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. There's none of that. It's just this. And, we're here now, guys, to rejigger education. That's the need right now in the world. And so homeschool is just, I think it's
taking responsibility for a very, very important aspect of your life that over the last 100 years, we've all delegated to the government.
Right. And that's a big belief we have. We don't believe that the government even know our kids. They don't know our kids.
Right.
They don't know the first thing about our kids. So that's why there's this blanket thing. Everybody goes in to be processed. Everybody needs to be processed once they're 5. That's how it feels, So it's not our game.
We don't believe that the government can properly educate our kids. As a matter of fact, we believe that government education is the beginning of the destruction of the family. Now, guys, this is an intense belief, but this is our personal belief that you send the kids to school from the time they're 5, you separate them from the family. By the time you're done adding sports, you've interrupted the family dinner.
And a lot of parents don't even know what their kids are learning in school, you guys. They go to work. They put their kids in school and they go to work. It's like it is what it is. And we are where we are, you guys, because that's the thing with humanity. We don't want to make this bad, like looking back and saying, oh, this is terrible, because it did get us to where we are now, the education system, it did. But again, you guys, we're talking about homeschooling. And the reason why we all homeschool is because the system didn't work for us. And we're seeing more and more that it's more and more broken,
Yep. Mark Twain said, I've never let school interfere with my education. And that's pretty much our fundamental premise when it comes to this subject.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's something that it's important to drill down on there, because if you sit down and talk to any conscious parent who's thought about this subject, a lot of them would come to the same belief that you had, that you both had, and that I hold, which is that kids learn differently. They learn in unique ways. So then my follow-up argument would be, how could you expect something like a government program or curriculum to cover all of these individual or unique kids?
That's the answer.
Exactly. That's kind of how it feels. And you need the parents to take control and do it, or at least design it with the help of a system that has that belief built in, kind of like the workshop that we're going to be discussing in upcoming episodes. But basically, if you don't go in with this idea that they learn uniquely, I don't see how you could possibly educate them effectively with some sort of curriculum put in at a government level or societal level.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, you go to school and you see there's a 500 kids from K to five, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
It's a small army.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you guys, we could talk for hours about the history of education in this country and which we should at some point, but it's crazy. The system is not set up to teach our kids how to live individual lives. They're set up to teach kids how to live in a system, a flawed system. But yeah.
You're right on, Pat.
It's profoundly inadequate to prepare our kids for how to live in the 21st century. Just to touch on the history of education, just very, very briefly, it was only 100 years ago that the current educational model was introduced to the world, which is basically the Industrial Revolution model that mimics work. You go to school from 8 to 5, just like you go to work from 8 to 5. You get a break at 10, you get your lunch at noon, you get another break at 3. It's the exact, and that's only been for 100 years out of a 7,000-year civilization history, you guys. So for 98% of human civilization,
it's so true.
Not that way. This is new. It worked for the time that it worked, and now it's time to discover something else. That's how we feel.
Exactly.
I could not.
Absolutely. People are so afraid to homeschool and unschool. It's like seen as this radical, scary thing. And it's like, this is what we've been doing for the entire history of our species, literally.
Exactly, right.
That's right, Jess.
And, you know, that's one of the beliefs that I hold. Something that simply just is very important to me is I feel like you said, the principles and skills that they teach them in these schools aren't even what they will be doing when they're out in the real world. So one of my beliefs is that I teach my children what they need to know from the beginning, meaning if my daughter Jules can handle Photoshop or GarageBand, I'm not going to start her on the kiddie program. She's out there farming with me. She's doing the things that I do every day. Dad, you did this a lot with me when you would do work meetings and just have me there. I mean, that is absolutely priceless education. So,
well, Jordan, here's what that guarantees. That guarantees that your kid's going to be focused on real issues that they'll really encounter in their life, as opposed to learning all this stuff. We call this concept laser learning, guys. We don't want our kids, we don't want any Lifebook members, as a matter of fact, using their resources, their time, and their energy, learning things that will never help them in any way. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. What you've got to do is decide where you want to take your life and then set up an educational curriculum that's going to most support that. And you're guaranteed to be successful if you just focus your kids on how you're living.
Totally.
Those are the skills they need to learn.
And this was one of the beliefs that Jess and Pat shared before we even had this call, which was that Deepak Chopra is saying, you guys, can you share that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we totally agree. One of our beliefs is that we believe education should be tailored to your strengths and not your weaknesses, or at least not only your weaknesses. And like I said, that's not to say that we don't focus on improving areas of weakness, just that we don't spend the majority of our energy there. We as parents don't project stress and concern and insecurity onto our kids, and we aren't holding them up to the standards of others. We're holding them up to our standards based on our values and who we know they are, and on their own standards for themselves. And Deepak Chopra said, if a child is good at tennis but bad at math, most people would hire a math tutor. I'd rather hire a tennis instructor. Like, right on, right?
100%.
We cater to our children's strengths. We let them spend the time doing their valuable time doing what they're good at and what they in homeschool. And we should totally, as homeschool parents, be taking advantage of.
Yeah, that's right.
They enjoy. They will enjoy it so much more. They enjoy doing what they love to do. Hello.
Right. It's just everything else becomes a distraction.
And they're more likely to learn. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. Novak Djokovic doesn't need to know algebra. I'm sorry. He just doesn't. But listen, we have a whole long list of questions to get through here, guys. A lot of people are intimidated. Like Jesse said, this makes sense what you're saying. It resonates with a lot of people, but it's like a leap of faith for a lot of people, a serious leap of faith. And I think that what might help is sharing some of the biggest benefits that you guys have experienced. You know, as families, individually, from really girding yourself
and
ripping away from this, you know, symbiotic relationship of the traditional schooling model.
Miss, why don't you talk about family freedom? Because that has been our number one benefit from doing this?
Oh my gosh, totally. The first thing that came to my mind when John read this question to me this morning was freedom. It's absolute freedom of self-expression. It's creativity. It's just, it's like, it feels like an explosion of just life. Like it was anti-life when we were had to do the school. It was almost like we were on the government's schedule. Mm-hmm. Like it was hell. We had to get up so early, squeeze through breakfast, then hurry up and get to school, and then hurry up and do your school afterwards. Yeah, it felt like jail. And the opposite of that is true. When we stopped doing that, it was absolute family freedom. Mm-hmm. We can be a family and do whatever the heck we wanted. We traveled the world. We experienced life. We experienced other cultures. We talked about whatever the heck we wanted to talk about. No structures, actually no structure for the first year when we pulled them out, the little ones anyways. But wow, that was the biggest one for, I would say, the second. When we first started homeschooling, it was Jess and Joe. And Jesse was the one that said, I'm done.
Baby, I wanted to work. I wanted to get a job.
You wanted to start life. Yeah. But we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically that's it. Just the sense of absolute freedom, and that we were in control of our own life. We didn't have to answer to the freaking teacher about the homework. When you think of it, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Right? I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but this podcast is about sharing our experience, and it felt like jail to me. I think a lot of kids, it feels like jail. Just the way you put it really is true. Thinking back, not sleeping really messed me up as a kid. Like that was not good for me, you know, and mm-hmm. I could have gone to bed earlier for sure. But lots of kids, you know, it's natural, especially for teenagers, to go through this stage where they're up late. It's literally a natural part of adolescent biology. And now you're depriving these kids of sleep. I think that really, really messed up my health. It's not healthy at the end of it.
Well, Jordan, our big driver for basically homeschooling our kids is, well, first of all, Jess came and said, I don't want to go in senior year. But then really what got us was you coming to us. I think you were in ninth grade and saying, Mom and Dad, do you really want me to go to a place that I hate every single day of my life?
That made me cry. I said, no.
I guilted you.
You got us. And it worked.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant, Jordan. I wish I would have thought of it.
It was true. I wasn't lying. And I don't know why it was, again, getting up was really bad for me. I hated the school experience, the lighting. Yeah. And I found out later that I had like neurological issues and stuff. And I think that it was just healthy that I got out when I did, started sleeping more.
And I remember hearing my friends used to ask, well, if your kids aren't going to school, how are they getting good social? And I was like, eighth and ninth grade is the most toxic social on the friggin' planet. They're not missing.
It's so true. We have so much to say on the topic of quote unquote socialization and the very flawed idea of what that even is. Like people's idea of what socialization is for kids is so flawed.
It's true.
But we'll talk more on that in detail later.
Well, you guys talk about the benefits that you've gotten from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So babe, I mean, family culture, right? Developing a family culture that's unlike anybody that we know, literally. Homeschool has become our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I got to add this. The decision to homeschool was the single best decision we've made as a family unit. I mean, it has changed our lives more than anything else.
I have to agree with that, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And that you put it perfectly. It's our family culture. That is what it exploded. When we are learning mm-hmm. about a subject, we are all learning it together. You know, when we're on Greece, our 9-year-old is learning it. Our daughter, who's 16, is learning it. And Jess and I are reading books on it. It's just...
And we're learning it. That's the thing.
And we're learning.
We're not just the teachers. Our kids are teachers. We're all teachers and we're all students. And we're all learning together. And that creates a totally different atmosphere of learning.
We were the exact same way, you guys, except we went to Greece. That's what we did. Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, that's next for us.
You guys have a structured, you guys have an amazing structured curriculum. We were loose, but we were
unschooling. We were totally unschooling because our kids were a little older. And you guys started from the gate, out of the gate, right?
Yeah, we do too. We unschool. We do a whole eclectic approach. And I think you guys kind of did too. You mostly unschooled and you travel school, you life schooled. But I think we're all sort of eclectic. We just pick and choose what works best at the time. Depending
on the
kid.
That's the beauty of homeschool, right? That's the beauty of homeschool.
It is.
Absolute creative freedom.
So yeah, I think I would say the family culture and the fact that our family values within this system and dynamic have the opportunity to grow and blossom and shine through in a way every single day that I know for a fact wouldn't be possible at the level that it is if we were all going our separate ways every day to jobs and school and all the activities that, you know, families are so busy with nowadays, and that ultimately, like, no matter how enriching those things are, they are taking time away from being together, which to us is the most important thing. Because ultimately, like, in addition to loving our kids and wanting to spend literally as much time with them as possible, we believe that family culture is what should shape and inspire the overculture, not the other way around, which is really sadly not often the case in our culture right now. Our society is dictating how families should be and how they should spend their time and what they should be doing. And with homeschool, you get to create your own family culture and like live your own authentic dreams. And in doing that, I think we really realized, we woke up at a deeper level to the fact that, like, oh my gosh, we don't have to play by the rules. We can make our own rules. We can create our own reality. And Dad, I just want to say, one of my favorite things that you've always told us kids that sticks with me so much is that no matter how like accepted or normal or expected something might be in society, somebody somewhere made it up, like literally actually made it up. Everything is made up. Who decides? Who decides this stuff? Who decides the rules for our family, for our children, for our one, you know, wild and amazing life? We get to. Yeah. We can make that decision.
That's beautiful,
life,
Jesse.
Lifestyle, baby. And that's beautiful, Jesse.
And I want to throw in one more benefit. And it's the benefit of not having to go through what you have to go through to be part of school. Not having your kid be homogenized and have to fall in line and have their creativity and self-expression squashed. And there's a huge benefit in just simply not being involved in that system and the damage that it creates for a lot of people.
That's right. And I want to just speak
so true,
because I feel like that is why teenagers are in the state that they're in. By the time you become a teenager, nobody likes teenagers anymore. You know, teenagers, oh, they're a pain in the ass. They're cranky. They're this or that. Yeah, they're going through a lot of hormonal stuff. But they've also gotten the shit kicked out of them at school. Their self-esteem is in the tank. They don't know how to do relationships. They don't know how to do the important stuff. They've learned a bunch of regurgitated stuff that our government decided to teach them. And by the way, I'm going to say one more thing. And when I was going to public school PTO meetings, there was a regime change in the United States government. There was a new president. And from one year to the next, I'm sitting in the same chair as last year, and they have a curriculum change. Because we got a new president. That woke me up at a level that I was like, hold on a second. This isn't necessarily about my child's best interest. So that's, I'm just going to say that and leave it there, because that is kind of going deep. But it's reality. It's a reality that I experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen that firsthand, Dad, your comment about the benefit of not going to school with our son, Johnny, because he's the only one. Well, yeah, now that I think of it, he's the only one out of all of us, I think, that has never been to any form of public school. And he's just so, there's a different level of like confidence and authenticity and the ability to just be who he is unapologetically, even in the face of, you know, sometimes like social criticism or whatever. He's just like, what?
Yes, he's got a level of individuality. Johnny has
totally. Elevated. That's exactly right.
He's got an elevated sense of his own special, unique individuality. He's more autonomous than most. He has not been normalized by the herd, is the bottom line.
And we've witnessed that. Yeah. Firsthand.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So it's about taking back that control and the responsibility and the most important thing, freedom. And then you have to craft something around that, right? That's a responsibility, taking on that role. Maybe we can move into specifics, you guys. What are the most important things that you're looking to teach once you take back that responsibility of educating your kids?
Great question.
That is a great question. And I think that some of the things that we need to be teaching in the 21st century are very different than in the past, but there are some fundamentals that remain like absolutely foundational to anybody's education. One of the things that Missy and I are very focused on is teaching our kids how to think, not what to think. And that's different than school does. If school used to teach how to think, in 2500 BC, Aristotle, or 2300 BC, Aristotle was teaching the laws of logic. There's three of them. The foundation of all rational discourse, the law of identity, the law of non-contradiction, et cetera. These are incredibly important things to teach kids at school. Doesn't even try anymore. So how to differentiate good information from bad information? The laws of logic, the rules of evidence, critical thinking. Those are the tools they need to be able to navigate the 21st century. One of the most important skills that our kids could develop going into this crazy new century is the ability to discern between fact and fiction, good information and bad information. So we really want to arm them with that.
Yep. So it's that. It's also starting with who are they and helping them discover who they are, learning who they are. And then also a big thing for me is to make sure that our kids all know that they know best in their own life. They know best. Mm. Not mom and dad, not the teacher, not the preacher, not the doctor. They know best. Teach them how to hone in their own soul. Like Jesse and Pat were saying in the very beginning, and their beliefs, their soul passion. What is your soul? What is your soul saying? What is your intuition? You know, pay attention to that, because that is your guide.
And you are the master of your own experience. Yes. Nobody knows your experience better than you do.
Right.
Now it's time for you to take responsibility for deciding where you want to take your life and putting one foot in front of the other, which leads me to one of the most important things that we've taught all of you and that we hit over and over and over, and we just live this, is that goal setting is the master skill of success. Goal setting is the master skill of success, no matter who you are or where you want to go. Your ability to figure out what you want out of life and what it's going to take to achieve that, and then wake up every single day and put one foot in front of the other and move toward that with intention, that's the master skill of living on this planet. Whether you want to be a beekeeper or a Fortune 500 CEO, it's the same thing.
Yep. And I'm going to add one more thing to that, which is a very important fundamental that we've taught all you kids, and it's important, and that is self-expression. Self-expression, because what are you going to do with all the stuff that you learn? You need to express who you are from the inside out. So we talk about a life book on all of our calls, you guys. Why are we here? We're here to express the beauty that's within us, to share that with others.
And that specifically school squashes.
Yes.
They're specific.
100%.
If they ever allow that to happen, it's going to happen in a very, very tight channel, which is not full self-expression. So that's important to us.
So these are fundamental.
Jess and Pat, why don't you share some of the things that are most important for you to teach?
Yeah.
Well, I would say there's no better way to create a structure for what you want to teach within your homeschool than to look to the 12 categories, most honestly.
Yeah.
Because and some of them won't totally apply, like our daughter is 16, so she's going to be moving more towards things like love relationship, but our son who's 9. So for him and for both of them, it's really the first 5 personal life categories that matter the most, plus, you know, finance, quality of life, things like that. But to us, it's like, if I had to name the most important things in addition to everything you just said, Dad, first and foremost for me personally, just because of my like personal passions and love of this topic, health, body, having a baseline knowledge of what health is, so that you feel fantastic and know what that even feels like. Because as sad of a truth as it is, I think many kids in our culture don't even have that. They don't know what it feels like to be clear in their mind, to have, you know, a lot of energy in their body, to have that baseline, so that when they go out away from the home and they make different decisions, they can be free and have fun and do whatever they want, but they know that there's a baseline to return to. And same with the mind, with mental health, with the ability to expand your mind and be courageous and choose your life consciously and choose your values consciously and live them. And emotional intelligence, how to be with your feelings. Like, oh my goodness, if I could wish one thing for the teen culture right now that's clearly struggling with anxiety and depression and all these things and sort of just spreading it around and festering it on social media, it would be, you know, emotional intelligence, like how to be with your feelings in a way that helps you transmute them into something different, how to healthily navigate what's going on inside of you. And to me, all of those things that I just mentioned are spiritual things. So spirituality plays a major role in that way, but also just like having a personal relationship with whatever divinity is true to your heart and how to cultivate that in a way that actually enriches your life. And like, yeah, it just expands your energy to impact others in a more meaningful and beautiful way. So I could go on and on, but the life book system really helps lend structure towards asking yourself, like, what's important to me? What's in my life book? Okay, well, that's what I need to teach my kids.
Nice.
Beautiful, Jess. Beautiful.
What do you
I'll add one more thing to that. Trying to teach our kids that the entire world is their classroom, and that literally every situation that you come in, every person that you meet, there's something to be learned from that. And for them to just be able to open their mind to that and live that way is really, really important. And you can teach your kids how to do that.
Another thing I want to throw in is history, you guys. It's so, especially for our boys, for some reason, the boys in our family really gravitate toward history. And you two, Pat and Jordan, are massive history buffs like I am. And Justin's just now getting ready to join our little circle. Let's just spend a minute to talk about why we think that's so important. For me,
so glad you brought that up.
Right? It gives a context that somehow just makes you feel so much more stable, secure. You can look back and know with much greater specificity where you are and what might be the right thing to do in the future.
I think it's the antidote for the sickness that has been wrought upon us by our modern society, right? Like if you buy into everything that someone's trying to sell you, you'll go crazy. Like we all know that. If you just watch the news all day and if you believe every commercial and you believe like you're going to go nuts. The opposite of that is learning the history of humanity, learning that this has happened time and time again. Nations have risen and fallen. You learn about, you know, kings and their behavior, populaces and their behavior. You learn about everything really wrapped up into one. And like you said, I think that gives you a kind of stability and base, which is the antidote for a lot of the chaos of modern society.
Good call, JB. It also gives you a great appreciation, thankfulness, and gratitude for what you have that no other generation has had. Like if you really understand how difficult history was for the human race in most times and places. And what we have now, we're the most, I mean, it's unbelievable. That should give you a tremendous amount of gratitude and thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Pat, why do you think history is so important for our kids?
Well, like Jordan said it, I mean, every subject exists within the subject of history. When you sit down and you learn about ancient Greece, you're learning philosophy, you're learning mathematics, you're learning like where this stuff came from, which is pretty incredible. But with the idea of like building a family culture, there's nothing better for me than studying history with my kids. When we study someone like Aristotle, or when we study someone like the Medicis in Italy during the Renaissance, those things that we learn start bleeding into our lives. They start, you know, we start telling jokes about the Medici brothers, or, you know, they start like,
or A2 milk.
Hey, you guys going to start a bank?
Yeah. They start working their way out into just our family system. You know, our, what we talk about, the jokes that we make, the games that we play. It's just like a playground for that. And for me, there's nothing better than history. It's storytelling, and it's the best storytelling in the world. You can't make that stuff up.
Good. Yeah, you know, history has ruined me for fiction. I can't read fiction anymore. History is way more interesting, and you can't make that stuff up.
Well, here's a question I think goes through a lot of people's minds when they're thinking about switching to homeschooling or what to teach them and what have you. What gives you guys the confidence to do this and know that you're educating your kids well?
That we're their parents. And like Miss said earlier, no one knows them better than us, and no one cares about them more, and no one in the world is more invested in their future than we are. Like literally, there's a homeschool quote that is along the lines of, if we started with what the research tells us about how kids learn best and built a school from the ground up, we'd build a home. And that is so true in my experience. Because the truth is that no one is more qualified to teach your kids than you are. And so many parents fear that qualification piece. Like if they don't have a degree in education, they're going to fail their kids.
I just want to go back to the concept of let's not forget, you guys, 97% of human history is families doing just that.
Yeah.
I'm a blacksmith. I take my 11-year-old son with me and he pounds on metal. And that's the how you do it. And you got to grow wheat and figure out how to grind it into flour. And you got to grow grapes and make wine. And you got to grow olives and press them into olive oil. And we're living and we're learning. And that's how it was done for more than 95% of human history. And
totally.
So we got this new thing, which worked for a little bit, but ain't working anymore as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, where we're delegating to quote unquote experts, but no one is the expert of our children better than we are. And I actually also want to go back to what we talked about earlier, which is that it's sort of a flawed idea to begin with, that we as parents are the quote unquote teachers and our kids are sitting there as students and they're here to learn from us. And yes, that is true some of the time. But for us, for Pat and I, most of the time, much of the time, that's not actually the case. We're all students. We're all teachers. We're on this learning adventure together. We learn with our kids. I don't know everything that I'm teaching my kids. I literally am learning it with them a majority of the time. And that's amazing for me because I'm expanding my experience and knowledge. And it encourages their curiosity because they see us being curious and engaged and asking questions and setting a great example as adults. Yep. And I think to us, it's like the asking of the question is sometimes so much more important than the answer itself, because that ties back to what you were saying, Dad, about how to think versus what to think. It's how to question, how to wonder and experiment, and how to learn, how to teach yourself things that you're passionate about.
Missy said the same thing this morning is we are learning with our kids, not only that, but sometimes from our kids.
Mostly now. Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, from our perspective, confidence didn't even play a role. Here's what happened. And I'm talking about with the second set of kids when we yanked our kids out of school for good. It was when Jade was in second grade and we found out she was dyslexic and we found out she was behind on everything. And it was a show, frankly. And at that moment, the confidence didn't have anything to do with it. It's like, we're out of here.
Yeah.
That decision's been made. Full stop. We're out of here. We're not sure what we're going to do, but it ain't going to be this.
Exactly.
So I don't think confidence played it. And then what we decided to do is two things with Jade. One was we got to introduce 3D learning into our family atmosphere. And we did a 6-month Southeast Asian adventure that changed all of our lives. Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, Indonesia, it was Philippines. It was unbelievable. We took our kids, right? So that was amazing. And then the second thing we did, Jade had her self-esteem was in the toilet. She was having a real hard time, but she was a great painter. And I sat down with her and I said, Jade, you know, you're dyslexic and that means that you're going to have trouble with these subjects for the next couple years. You'll be a little bit behind, but you also, it gives you super abilities. In other words, Missy studied that. She learned everything she could learn about that condition. And then we leaned into Jade's talent, which was painting. And for 2 summers, I painted with her almost every day. And she ended up having a solo show in a downtown Chicago gallery when she was 8 years old. And that fixed her self-esteem. It was like,
that was leaning into her strengths.
That's exactly right.
Screw the
So confidence didn't have anything to do with it. It's like, this isn't working. This is hurting our family. We're not doing this anymore. We got to find another way. And that's what we,
that was our second, but I'll tell you, I will speak to you too, because Jess, when you were, I think you were a senior in high school or you were at the end of your junior year, you came to me and Dad, and you're like, guys, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I've learned what I need to learn. I want to do life. I want to go.
And Jess, so, you were citing social at the time. You were like, I'm, you know, I've learned what I want to learn here. And this social experience is not good for me.
I'm done with it. You were done. So we're like, okay, cool. So for me at that point, I was learning from you. I didn't know. I was like, okay, let's do this. What are we going to do? So I remember I called the high school and I said, this was kind of before the internet was much of a thing. And I asked them at their front desk, I said, you know, my daughter wants to homeschool. Would you recommend a homeschool course? Which they laughed at me and said I was, you know, basically crazy. But I did get someone to help me and she told me this American school. Anyway, so talk about learning from your kids and confidence. My confidence was you, Jess. I was like, you knew what you wanted to do. And I'm like, heck yeah, let's do this. Now, with Jordan, it was a little bit different because you were almost at the end of your high school career, right? You had the experience.
Right.
Jordan was in middle school, comes to me and Dad and says,
was he in 8th grade?
Yeah, he didn't want
to. I went to freshman year.
I made you go, Jordan.
That was the compromisation year.
Yeah. You have to have, like, you have to, I said, middle school sucks. High school's better. This was my thought. You're like, okay, I'll go. And then, but then very shortly, you're like, no. And that's when you came back and you said, look, do you want me to go someplace where I'm miserable and I hate all day long? And I said, so anyway, my long story short is that you guys gave me and Dad the confidence to do it in the beginning. You know,
here's what I would say about that. We had the absolute confidence that the school path was not
right.
We had negative confidence. We weren't sure what the right answer was, but we knew that that was the wrong answer. And then gave us all the confidence we needed.
And you guys were like, let's do this. We're like, heck yeah. Right.
Well, then that, I think that's what the listeners need to do then is take a look at the school. Cause I mean, let's also be honest. All schools are different. Schools are not created equal.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, you need to sit down and look at how the children behave and how healthy they are once they've been through this system. Is that appropriate to you and your life vision? If yes, if checkbox yes, then good to go. If not, then you better gain that confidence or you better gain some courage because someone's got to step up and help these kids.
Absolutely.
Amen. As a seasoned homeschool mom, we've been doing this for almost 10 years now. I do want to say that, like, you know, my answer was like, we're their parents and we're the most qualified and all those things. And that sounds super amazing and romantic. And everything you said is just so badass. But also, like, as a homeschool mom that's been doing this for a long, long time too, it goes in waves. And every homeschool parent that I know absolutely falters in their confidence during certain seasons of homeschooling. This is really common. And I think it's really important to touch on so that people, A, don't feel completely alone, and B, can find strategies to cope with this. Because as our kids learn and change and grow, and as we change and grow as families, things change. And then that can kind of like create an upheaval sometimes, which requires totally different strategization, which then can cause like insecurity, stress, wondering if you're doing it right, wondering if like how you're going to approach. So it's not always just this 100% confidence experience. And I can't get super deep into this here, but in the workshop that we're going to be doing, we will definitely cover some really amazing strategies to help people deal with this, because it's the most common, probably the most common thing that people ask us about is like, how do I know that I'm not failing? It's my biggest fear. How do I make sure that I'm not failing?
Yeah.
So it's so important to touch on that.
It is just, you know what? We get that same question we get in Lifebook all the time. How do you know you're doing it right? But that's life, you guys. When you're living life and you're living life as a family, like you guys are doing, and you have this beautiful family culture, then that's what it is. Life is life. It's ups and downs. It's changes. But you can, having the system you have and having the base you have and been doing it for so long, you know how to ebb and flow with it. You know?
Totally. And it usually just comes down to trusting your life, trusting the process, and most importantly, trusting your kids, trusting yourself and trusting your kids.
Absolutely.
So then here's another great question that was posed by the community. You know, we are all Lifebookers here and we have our own individual life visions. How do you guys move forward with your own life vision and fuse it with your kids' life vision and your kids' education?
It's a great question. And Jess and Pat sort of alluded to it earlier. They make no distinction between their life and their education. But we basically educated our kids by living. We traveled the world with them and just waking up every day and deciding what to do, deciding what to see, that was part of their education. We make art with our kids. We do entrepreneurship with our kids. They see the businesses that we've started. All of our kids are entrepreneurs. Now we're homesteading. We're planting things in the ground and we're building houses and so we've really let our lives be our educational field pretty much for our kids. And I think Jess and Pat have gone to an even deeper level with that. Why don't you talk about that, Jess?
Yeah. Which you want to talk about, the no distinction between living and learning? That's something that we're really passionate about, because we don't believe that there is a difference between our lives and our education, between living and between learning. And we actually believe that it's really quite harmful to think of them as separate. Like, okay, you need to go to the four walls of an institution to get your learning in, and that's going to take up most of your waking hours. And then whatever time is left over at the end of the day is for quote unquote living your life. And at best, this creates a massive disconnect and a disempowerment between living and learning, your experience of living and learning. And at worst, it creates a bitterness and a resistance towards learning. And the truth is that life is the greatest teacher. Nothing will expand your mind or your life like a lived experience will. And we believe that a living education is multidimensional and that it happens in real time. Because we have this idea in our society, I think, that education is necessary for our future, right? For our lives later, like you're storing up knowledge in your learning time so that you can go out and apply it at some later imaginary date during your adulthood. But we believe that education is for life now. It is the living experience of now in motion. And that's living is learning.
Let me tell you, I just want to say really quickly why that's so brilliant when it comes to what you're teaching. If you make no distinction between living and learning, you are learning the right things versus the wrong things versus you will never use in your real life. If your life is your learning ground, you're guaranteed that you're learning the right things.
I love that.
And that is a big deal, not a small deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes all the difference.
Yeah, I just want to say learning in the moment. I just give a little example from this morning. We had a huge oak tree fall right on our driveway, and we literally couldn't get the car out. So this morning was how to swing an axe 101. Johnny and I got out there with the axe and the chainsaw, and it was just like, let's figure out together how to get this tree off of our driveway. And, you know, I've swung axes a lot, and I use the chainsaw a lot, but he doesn't. And so for him to just sit there, one, watch me, and then two, with my help, he's swinging that axe, chopping down this tree with me. And it was awesome. It was such a fun experience. And that's just us living and learning together. Yeah. He'll probably remember that for the rest of his life.
Oh, for sure. Totally. And doing dangerous things, like letting our kids do slightly risky things, like use power drills and use a chainsaw and, like, you know, balance on really high, precarious ledges. Like this stuff teaches our kids so much. And actually, it's so much safer to let them do those things than it is to keep them sheltered.
Absolutely. In the long run, it is definitely safer. They're going to learn how to do it with our supervision so that when we're not there, they can really do this stuff.
They've got the embodied knowledge.
That's right. You're teaching them how to do things, not what to do.
Exactly. How to figure stuff out and problem solve.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So simple.
I love that. Integrating your kids directly, unabashedly into your life, not coddling them and saying that they need to go through training wheels first. You know what I mean? Obviously not putting them in dangerous situations, but we all know that the public institutions, they completely separate them from reality. And instead you're throwing them right into your reality. So I
Yeah, giving them responsibility. Like, literally, we need your help on this homestead. You got to help us build. You need to carry water down the hill. Like, yeah, we need their help. And the chores are so good for shaping them too. Responsibility is so important for kids. I mean, you guys know, you gave us the whole, I mean, the whole philosophy of, if you want more freedom, you need to take more responsibility. You drilled that into us from early teenhood, at least. And it really shaped us.
That's great.
Awesome. Beautiful, guys. Oh my gosh.
So the second part of that question is, how do you begin to kind of understand your kids' life vision and their future? And then what education you're going to need to give them to support their life vision?
Well, for us, that's Lifebook. Mm-hmm. No question. And then after Lifebook, after you've, you know, done some deep thinking about your life and are a little bit more clear on what you want and who you are and where you're taking your life, then what we really want to lean into is what our kids love, what they're passionate about, and what they're good at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stuff bubbles up to the surface through the Lifebook process. So that's been critical to it. Like Jess said at the beginning, there's really not much more to focus on than the 12 categories. Mm-hmm. You do that, you're gonna be good. If your lifestyle is your learning environment, so many things fall into place just with that one thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, because if you're really truly living with your kids and having the life experience as a family, just exactly like Jess and Pat were talking, then you will know who your kids are. You will know what their desires are. And
you're going to be learning the right things.
Through play, through yep. hanging out, through dinners, through living life together as a family, you learn who your kids are. And therefore, I mean, that's the early years. And then when they're old enough to go through the life program,
then they can go on their own little path.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
I think that leads nicely into the final question that we have here submitted from the community. What is the most important education and what matters the most for ensuring that our kids are future ready? This is a tough one because you don't know what the future is going to look like, but how do you guys ensure your kids are going to be ready for the future?
For whose future? That question presupposes whose future, and it's their future that you're trying to get them ready for. So it becomes a lot less complicated when you stop thinking about where the world is right now and so on, and you just focus on your kid. Where do you want to take your life? Well, that's the future we want to get you ready for. You're going to be an artist. You're going to be an accountant. What are you going to be? You're going to be a farmer? Well, let's start learning the things that are going to move you most effectively in that direction. It's all individual, you guys. There is no one size.
Hallelujah.
Right? Discovery and play and
that's right.
Communication.
So the most important thing to learn to become future ready is just how to learn. If you can learn how to learn, you're going to be fine. No matter what you want to do, you're going to learn how to do it because you know how to freaking learn.
Awesome.
Totally. A love of learning and a love of growing. And I would add to you guys, because I just read this quote recently. I'm the quote queen. So I'm just like throwing quotes out left and right. They're my favorite thing. I think they're just like succinct little wisdom nuggets. But I just read this quote recently that said, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn.
That's great.
And I think I'm seeing that in our world right now. And it's like, I want our kids to be able to love learning and growing and to be able to learn something, unlearn it, and relearn it if it's flawed or if it's not serving them. Because if they can master the love of learning and growing, they will always be okay. They'll always be able to expand and continue on their path.
And adapt. That's so beautiful. Well, I think with that, that's a beautiful ending to this beautiful podcast. Mm-hmm.
The first part of three. Stay tuned, everybody. We've got a whole second part. We're going to get into specific strategies, deeper into these beliefs and values. Now, this is just the setup episode. And then in the third episode, we're going to talk all about an awesome workshop that we have coming up. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you guys for joining me today, my whole family.
Thanks, guys. This
Thanks so much, Joe.
It was awesome. So we'll see y'all next week.
Stay tuned for another family podcast next week. Bye-bye, everybody. Have an extraordinary day.